Thank you, Minister Key. We had a very good turnout at the BART board meeting on Thursday. We had about 50 people in the room. I don't think they'd seen that number ever. Well, with the exception of the 8th, January 8th, which was the first big meeting. And we let them have it. We told them our demands, and we basically took over the meeting. And about an hour into it, we had basically negotiated our way. Our demand for the meeting was that we wanted them to have an open public meeting, something like the town hall, but a meeting where they actually go out into the community. Because the way they generally hold their meetings, they hold them on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. and they put the public comment at the end. So people will show up to these meetings, they have to go to work, they've taken some time off, and they're waiting to say their part, and they're waiting, and they're sitting there listening to them talking about their budget, or they're talking about scheduling. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly disrespectful. They do it every single time. At any rate, we showed up in mass. We wanted them to have a public meeting because it's something that they promised us. They promised us that they were going to come out and actually hear what people had to say about this. And unfortunately, there was an incident. A young man threw some red paint on Dorothy Duggar, who's the general manager of BART, and they shut the meeting down, and that ended all of the negotiation. Nevertheless, I think it's important to say that we need to keep the pressure on BART, and I think we need to realize something that they don't realize, because actually they said something to me when we were in the midst of this negotiation. They're like, we were basically asking, why is it taking you so long to do anything? What's the holdup? Well, why can't you do something? Because actually it's 4 months later, they haven't done anything. They haven't held anybody accountable. And the response was, well, we're trying our best, and we're trying to come back to you with answers. And that hit me really hard, because I look up there and I see 9 people, and not a single one of them has, this isn't their first job, this isn't what they do. This is what they do as a second job. Each one of them gets paid to come to 2 meetings a month. And they're elected, but they're elected to run a transit system. They're not elected to oversee a police force. And so it tells me that they have the audacity. These are not people that are trained. These are not people that know anything about police. And they're elected officials, but they're elected for a twice a month job as directors of a public transit agency, and they're sitting up there with the audacity to tell us that they are going to go out and bring the answers back to us. They're going to bring the answers back to us, that we're waiting on them to tell us what's true and what's right. So they got the whole relationship reversed. These are public officials. They're not hearing from the people. They think that their position is to talk to the people, to tell the people what the truth is and what justice is. But we don't need them to tell us what we saw. And we don't need them to tell us what we experienced. We know what happened to Oscar. And we know that it's not the first time. And then you hear, actually, Chief Gee. And actually, I don't know if you've heard this. It'll make your blood boil. His excuse for why he should keep his job, when asked by the media, and they played this on TV, he thinks he should keep his job. And his reason is, this happened on my watch. Okay, now first of all, I have to tell you, he left a part out. It happened on his watch twice. Because the last person that was killed by BART that was unarmed was on his watch. And we need to be careful, because what he said after that was, we are open to civilian review. That was about 10 years ago. G, saying, we are open to civilian review. 10 years later, It happens on his watch again, and he's open to civilian review. But be very careful about this bill that's in being proposed right now, because I'll tell you that the person who's going to choose the oversight committee, the person's going to choose the chair of that committee, the person's going to determine who's doing the oversight of the police is Tom Orlov. DA Tom Orlov. Per the bill. And this is what happens when we let these board members, these twice a month people, these weekend warriors, these armchair people, come back and dictate the terms of justice. So we have to keep our eye on Bart. Chief G, if you went and if Bart goes looking for his replacement, and his replacement, someone comes and interviews for the job and says, you know, this happened on my watch too. Are they going to hire that person? So why are they keeping him on? He needs to go. The general manager needs to go. And the police officers that were on that platform need to go. And there's 9 of them. And you got to keep in mind, 9 out of 9 did wrong that night. That's 100% bad apples. It's not just Messerly. It's a problem with that entire police department. It's a top problem with the entire agency. And we can't let them get away with it. We can't let them get away with the whitewash that they're trying to put over on us.
Well, I just wanted to give you, if you guys give me 5 minutes, I just want to do a little educational piece to give us a little hope. I just, your power empowers me, so thank you, Mrs. Grant, for Johnson, for empowering us. I want to give you a little bit of history real quick. A couple years back, the city of East Palo Alto was going through a community war, like we have in West Oakland and East Palo, you know, fruiting with themselves. And one of the things that we did in our community was bring these young brothers together. And like what the sister said, was educate them on why you shouldn't or why you should stop this problem. The thing of it is it took reformed hood boys, what we call ourselves, to get in the ears of the boys that was out there feuding. It's very difficult for a pastor to come in a room to say, hey, little Johnny, you need to stop shooting those guns. But it's very easy for me to say, Johnny, you need to start shooting those guns, because I was shooting them myself. Actually, I've been shot, you know, you go to the jail and all that other stuff. But that requires us to work. The thing of it is that we noticed though in my community that when we asked the pastors to come out and do that type of work, they ran, just to be frank. And no disrespect to the pastor and their role and the whole situation, but I'm asking us hood boys and hood girls, step your game up, because it's gonna require you as an individual, to get at your cousin, your partner, oh, that's a little homie I raised in the streets, I know him. To get out there and speak to these individuals and educate them. Take what we have here and say, young player, look at the game, you're gonna lose this. You're gonna lose this game. So in that, I wanna offer anybody that don't, you know, got a cousin out there wilding, or y'all want to, you know, all I can do is offer that advice, but it's going to require West Oakland to take care of West Oakland. It's going to require East Oakland to take care of East Oakland. So I'm saying it can be done, because, you know, in the city of East Palo Alto, we ain't never had like a, you know, violence is what we do. We went 9.5 months without one shooting. One murder, no nothing. So I just wanted to give some hope. It's real. This happened in 07. You know, that didn't make the news, though. I just wanted to tell y'all that. You know what I mean? They want to talk about Taliban and Acorn and all that. But I'm telling you, we have the tools there. You have soldiers that can talk to each other face to face. We got them. I want to offer those soldiers. I'm going to give you an example. Two of the dudes that I was mentoring, I brought one of my brothers from San Francisco down to talk to him, Brother Suleiman. That same day Suleiman spoke to me, quit the game. Based on the education, Suleiman gave him. So in that, you got these resources right here in this very room. And I know one thing in scripture, it says, if you live by the fruits of the Spirit, the law does not affect you. In Galatians. So in that, as we are growing in this legislation, it's a twofold thing. It's a parallel thing we got to go here, right? We got to get these boys and educate them, because our ignorance is getting us caught up in this web. And really, like, we don't really want to go to that web, but the rules and the structure of how we was thinking, how we got down, forces us into this world we don't know nothing about. And legislation build legislation and laws around our thinking. And that's how this web continues to grow. So all I want to say to you mamas and aunties and all that other stuff is, first of all, for you hood boys in here, it's on you. As you get healthy, as you transition, as you walk yourself towards God, He's going to give you your mission. That is our turn now. For the boys that tore up the block, the ones that helped sell this dope, the ones that told these females and did all the things we did in the neighborhood, it's your turn, playboy. You owe us. You owe me, your kids, everybody around you for tearing this whole city up. It's us. So in that, all I am is just putting out that call. So I just want to say thank you for continuing to challenge us. That's our role. That's what we're supposed to do. All right. Thank you.
I wanted to introduce you all to a great organizer in the demand for justice that's on the front line to secure full and complete justice for our people and our peoples. I wanted to give him a few minutes to explain what that means, because as we're looking at justice, we're going to look at it in a broader picture as we're growing. So please receive Reverend Henry Williams.
I thank God. Thank you, Minister Mohammed. Very good friend of mine, been my friend for a long time. We've been involved in a lot of things here in Oakland together. We were together with Black Men Praise. We was talking about that earlier. He's been to church and heard me speak, and I've been to, you know, I've heard him speak. But I want to speak on restitution, reparation, you know. Minister TBJ put that up practically all over the world, because I sent him a flyer and he spoke on it, because it's out of the Bible. Restitution, reparation, okay? He said it's all the same. And he just shouted over it, you know what I mean? My God, what a blessing, what a blessing. Okay, because in the word of Leviticus, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, God said you have to pay back everything you owe plus the 5%. You know what I mean? And we don't use the Bible today when we're talking about reparation and what God said and what's owed to us. Joseph only fed all the people in the world, came to Egypt for 7 years. But blacks here in America has not only fed the whole world, but closed the whole world within about 500 years. You know what I mean? 500 years. I want to go back, though, before I say any more about the ripple. I want to go back when people say, well, that they don't know anything about it, don't understand it, don't think we'll ever get the money, da-da-da-da-da. I'm an ex-slave sharecropper from the plantation of Alabama. And a lot of people say, well, you're not old enough to be a slave. Let me share something with you about slavery, okay? Because I'm a real slave, okay? I had 12 of us brothers and sisters. I worked 18 years free with no money, didn't get paid nowhere. You know what I mean? My daddy might give me a quarter, a dime to go to the show or something like that. But I didn't get paid no one. So 18 years free and everything. You don't pay no tax, you don't get nothing taken out for Social Security. You know, you understand what I mean? These kind of things here. And that's what a slave is, working every day and don't get no money. And at the end of the year, your dad don't get no money and you still don't get no money. All during the summer, I went barefooted and everything. And during the winter, the shoes that I wore, a lot of time I had to put pasteboard in them. You understand what I'm saying here? And you know, and a lot of things just happen to us today because God allows us to go through something because we can't see God's blessing. God blessed us with wealth. Why we don't want it? You see what I mean? So now, you know, you're saying, okay, the Israelites not only cried out in Egypt, they cried out in the wilderness. And every time they cried out to God, God came to them and gave them everything they need. Fed them in the wilderness and everything. But it didn't have no nothing. You understand what I mean? No shoes, no clothes, no nothing. God did everything from right there in the wilderness. And I want to say something to you all. How is it that we can use it? And many of y'all go to churches and things. You know, and I speak to my pastor and other preachers. You know what I mean? Because I'm not liked by a lot of people because I don't speak like a lot of preachers. You understand what I mean? If you can stand up in the church and raise and ask for tithes from the Old Testament, you can stand up in the church and ask for the people in the pew money from the Old Testament. And Jesus said in the New Testament, when he called Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree, it was because Zacchaeus done got wealthy. He has a Roman in there. And not supposed to be there. He wasn't even supposed to be there. He done been in there and bought up and stole everything there and everything and taken up tithes and tax collecting and everything like you said. And now here, he's on land do not belong to him. So he said, Lord, in the 19th chapter of Luke, in the 8th verse, he said, Lord, I give back half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man, I'll give back another fourfold. And Jesus went on and spent the night at his house. Not only that, he said in the 10th verse, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that what was lost. He's talking about us and everything belong to us. We have to see that today. You know, that scripture's there for our living on this earth right here. Right here. Okay, we have a movement going to Washington, D.C. for slave reparation. He was spoken on quite a bit here before the Mr. Oscar Grant was killed, right? That's the first thing I want to say also. God bless you. I love you. You have my sympathy. You and your family, all of you and your friends. This is something that really need to be done. A lot of laws need to be changed, but going back to killing our peoples, I want to share something quickly with you on that. I'm going back now to 1860-61. There was a black man killed, was a senator from the state of California. You all didn't know we had a black senator in the 1800s, huh? Okay, some of y'all might know, okay. Well, his name was Dave C. Brockett. Dave C. Brockett. So you can pull him up on the computer. There's so much there on him. Okay. Dave C. Brockett. His father worked on the White House. Okay. And Dave C. Brockett couldn't go to school in Washington, D.C. His father was Irish. His mother was black. So he couldn't go to school in Washington because he didn't have, when you go to a school, you got to announce your mother name and da 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 da. So, but anyway, they moved to New York City when he was 14 years old. And that's when he first started school in New York City. He wound up being a congressman of the state of California, a senator. And he he went back through the courts. He fought the free blacks here, right here in California, because there was a lot of slaves here. California didn't become a slave state until 1850. because that brought all the railroads, the Ku Klux Klan from the South, and they come out here with the Underground Railroad. All these people, many of them from the Underground Railroad, didn't get off on the East Coast. A lot of them wind up right here in California because this man, John Brown, his ship docked right down here, boats right down here on 8th and 7th Streets and everything with slaves in 1850s and 60s. They had 1,000 blacks in a slave camp right here at Mills College, which is known for some of your educators, Beulah, California. Okay? Now, one of the things just let me say this real quick, Minister, with Dave C. Broderick. Dave C. Broderick was killed in Stonetown. He was killed by his Chief Justice of California. That's the thing I want to put out there. A law enforcement, the Chief Justice of California. That's right, killed a black senator. He was a senator for the state of California. They fixed his gun so it wouldn't fire. They killed him in a duel. And it's all there. It's about 8 or 9 pages of it right there on the computer. And I'd like to see somebody come back later and dress it, okay? Because I got a lot on it. Okay, now the thing that we have on the slave reparation movement, today I'm meeting, we have 4 colleges involved. Merritt College, Alameda College, Laney College, and some students and some of the top people that's working there, they're working to come together and bring all the leaders together to work with us on this movement, because what we have to do is we have to write the bill going before Congress. It's not about just going to Washington, D.C. to march, but it's what we're going there to march for. But we have to have what we asking for and what we want from the Congress when we go there, okay? So we have 2 heavyweight black brothers. Both of them serves on the General Committee, National Committee of the Teamsters in Washington, D.C. So the Teamsters are helping sponsor this movement. One of them is over the Black Caucus, and the other one is the chair for the Human Rights Commission of the Teamsters. And they both is coming out here within about 2 or 3 weeks to meet with us. But what they want to do, Minister, they want to meet with the leaders that's working with this, okay? Because we can bring the Farmer League and all of them together, because we have to have our congressmen there, number one, to help write the bill, to help support the bill, so we can put it before Congress, okay? So we have a leadership meeting of peoples coming together here in this city, and just like Oakland has been on the map around the world with Oscar Grant, we want to put it on there around reparation and keep it out there until money comes down. We have young girls out here being destroyed out here in these group homes. I got a granddaughter in a group home and everything like this. The people get $1,800 a month for her, and this child only get $20 a month. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, this happened all over America. There's a lot of money coming down in the open, but it's not benefiting our children, our people, and our women. Okay.
Now, time and those in May, we'll make these the last 3, and if we can just honor the time, we're getting a little late. So try to hold it to 2 minutes or so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's not going to take that long. No. First, I'd like to just have a moment of silence for Oscar Grant. Just 1 moment. Thank you. With that, I'd like to extend a heartfelt love to one of the family, Jack, his boys. I'd like to thank the forum here, the minister, and the pastor who's not here today. I would like to thank everybody for being here. Those who have been coming, I'd like to thank you and let you know I love you. I really do. And I'm going to stand. I'm committed to stand for justice for Oscar Grant. He asked, if there's some ideas we can do. One idea I would like to do is reiterate what Wanda said. I'd like to take the town hall to the community.
Yeah.
other communities, because we're divided. We have the East open and the West open. Some of the East is not here. So we need to take this out to the community as well. We need to understand. Many people don't even know that this is going on here.
That's true.
Hello? We need them to know that we are standing for justice for Oscar Grant, as we are doing today, all the way until this is over. We're not going to just stop today and fizzle out. You know, this is, they want us to be quiet. I want y'all to know that they want us to be quiet. They told us at the beginning of this movement, don't say nothing, because they may change the venue. So far, we've been quiet. We need to get up from here and go out there. That's all I want to say.
A motion has been made that at some point we have a town hall in another part of the city of Oakland, such as East Oakland, EOYDC, right. Youth Uprising. Right. Is there a second?
I second that motion.
Moved and seconded. Let's go. Have another town hall in another part of the town.
Let's go.
If you agree with that, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So it is. We'll let you know.
I want to say greetings to everybody, first of all, and to my brothers and sisters. I say yes, I'm leaving. I just want to say I greet you, my sister. You really touched me today. Girl, you preached. One of the things that I am concerned about in this meeting, Brother Minister, if you will just hear me, so much is happening in this room. So much. I'm touched today. My pastor was here today, and I haven't seen him since July. Not of my own doing, but because of some legal paperwork that kept me away from church. And after I spoke with him outside, I found out he didn't even know anything about it, but thanks to this brother right here, who doesn't even know, I'm giving him kudos. He invited Pastor Bob here knowing that I would be here so that I could reconnect. A lot is happening in this room. The other thing, Brother Michael, is I was also tased by police officers, and I would hope that you all would help me get justice. I would hope that you all will not allow what happened to me to go unjustified. These officers came in my house, in my bedroom, while I was unarmed, and tased me. I gave them no reason to. I complied with everything they told me to do, and they tased me anyway. And I don't want us to let that go unsaid another day. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I live in a house full of mold. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're getting ready to tear down a building next to me full of asbestos, and has sent the message to our neighborhood. They're going to tear down powder coating building right across from Maxwell Gospel. The message has gone out. The air quality is going to be horrible in the 6-5 village and the 6-9 village, but they're going to do it anyway because we just black people and they don't care about our lungs. So would you all please hear me say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the final thing is, I did go to City Hall last week. But I went a little early, and they put a public safety issue in community and economic development. So let me tell you what's going to happen. They are trying to implement the ambassadors that you see downtown Oakland with the orange suits. They're going to put them at every BART station. That's what they plan to do. Unless we stop them. They put it in CETA. in community and economic development. That's what they're trying to call this. But it's a public safety matter. These are security guards, and they're trying to secure the city through them. Please wake up, people. A lot is happening in this meeting.
More than what I did the last time that I was here. If you take that position and you stay motivated within yourself, and whatever it takes to fuel yourself up, if you said, I did a little bit that time, but you know, the next time you say, I didn't do much. I didn't do as much as I could have done. So what can I think to do better? So you have to challenge yourself each and every day. Challenge yourself when you go to bed. Take an inventory of yourself, of where you're at in this movement. What position do you take? What position do you hold in your heart in this movement? When we're fighting not just temporarily. We fight for the duration of oppression, the duration of the times that was taking place with us. Now, as we come along as the third movement, we had 15 buses. We had 15 buses. And I don't take no credit for when I went down there to talk to those brothers. I'm only a vessel of God. God, you have to understand that it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you as one person. You are in a movement for all people. So when you go do what you do, you're not doing this for self. You ain't doing it for self-glory. You're doing it for the praise of God. Because God is the one that's leading us on this movement. So when we get in a situation like that, we say, well, if I got one bus, then I need to get two next time. You feel what I'm saying? You said that I called two people. I need to call four people. And I need to tell that four people to call four people. So we continue to just move on and on and on. But when you leave here, you got to understand that I got greatness with me. I'm going to sleep on this. When I go home, I'm going to talk to people. And listening to these brothers right here, that's my mentors. I'm just a baby in this, as I said. I'm just a student. But I'm a student that's eager to learn. And if you did crime like Muslims did in our time and the police was mad at you then you should say, you're going to be mad at me now. Because now I'm not doing something that's oppressing my people. I'm doing something that's going to wake them up. Something that's going to lift them up. That's going to go into the trenches, into Hunter's Point, West Oakland. Everything that you can think of. You go up in the trenches, you don't be scared of it. When it rains, snow, it shines, you get up in there and you say, hey, brother. Hey, sister, stop doing this. I'm not Goldie Gold no more. I'm not your dope dealer no more of Hunter's Point. I'm Brother Suleiman. It takes him to see you walking the walk. Walking the walk. And I want to thank Brother Jamal because he told me a year and a half ago, Suleiman, Brother Goldie Gold, Suleiman, come to the meeting. And I would say, okay, Jamal, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. But you know what? It took me a whole year. And that was a year that I missed out. But then at the same time, I'm still one foot in, one foot out. But then I said, no, if I go in, I got to go in with 2 feet. But I got to go in with my spirit. I got to convince myself. And that's what you have to do. You got to convince yourself. You got to get married. It's like marriage, as I say. You got to marry the movement. And God said, when you marry somebody, don't like divorce. So you can't divorce this movement. This ain't no part-time relationship, no girlfriend, boyfriend, man. This is something that you got to be in it all the way to win. And we end this to win this to the end, brothers and sisters. And I love y'all and love your spirit. And when you leave here, you leave here within your heart, and I got to go tell somebody.
We all read Paul in the Bible, right? There he is right there. Because I remember growing up, he was known as Goldie Gold or Maurice Tatum. And that was a family you didn't want to, you know. And when I first came to the town hall meeting, I said, Goldie Gold is here.
Right.
And then it's just like, then when he spoke, it was just like, man, if Goldie Gold, or I know that Maurice Tatum, if he could do it, anybody could do it. And when I was in high school, I used to have a crush on his sister, but I would never mess with her because he was Goldie Gold. I just like to say, Wednesday. I brought my son, Nigel, who is like, he called Oscar his big cousin, because Oscar always loved Nigel. You do anything to Nigel, you got to deal with Oscar. And I brought one of the other young men, June, to Sacramento. And he was like, man, I'm not feeling it. And then once he heard the minister speak, and then he heard Chris Muhammad speak, then he seen the movement, how it was going. He started calling his brother, his older brother who was with him. He called John too. He called Mike. And he was like, man, we're missing out. I didn't know it was like this. And so Dr. Tasker, she talked to him, and she got him right now. As a matter of fact, they're at my son's mother's house. All 8 of the young men that were with Oscar Grant the night he was murdered, she's over there talking to him, and they never spoken to nobody. So I like to thank him for that. And he had so much anger in him. He, despised the police, just despised the system, all of them do. But when he left Sacramento, he had a different vibe, and he was inspired by Mr. Muhammad. And so that's what I want to share. And there's also one more thing I want to share. When Sister Diane talks about getting those letters to Obama, we really have to do that, because what kind of guy is Obama? I don't mean to knock him, but I'm not trying to be negative, but what kind of guy is he praying to? Because for the last 3 weeks, when the 4 officers got murdered, he said they were murdered senselessly. Then the 13 people got murdered in New York, and he said that was a senseless murder, that him and Michelle's praying for those families. Then 3 more officers got killed in Pittsburgh, and then he said, me and Michelle said our prayers. Well, I don't know how to say this, but Mr. Obama, he's not answering your prayers, because Oscar Grant was killed senselessly too. And if you're just going to acknowledge all 3 of those murders and not Oscar Grant's murder, then who is the praying to? Because we are all children of God, not by the same mother, but by the Father above. So, just, thank you. I love everyone.
Can you send the email address again?
I'm
sure my sister will give it to us right now. So please receive Sister Diana Parks.